Of Above and Beyond, Bridging the Gap to Accessibility and Inclusion. I'm your host, Anthony Frazina, where we're continuing the conversation about navigating the pandemic and the importance of advocacy in our community. And I couldn't think of a greater guest to bring on today than Megan Graham. Megan, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
Thank you
for
bringing
me
on again.
Oh, it's great to have you as always. So Megan, we're talking about navigating the pandemic and advocacy, and I know you're a big proponent of that, you know, with your family life, with your home life, with your business. I just wanted to get, first and foremost, your perspective of how the pandemic has gone for you from when it started over a year ago to how things are transitioning now.
I think for me personally, the first like 3 months of the pandemic were really difficult because I'm a huge extrovert. So not being around people made it really, really difficult for me, which then spiraled my own depression and anxiety and PTSD that I have, because I didn't have that mental health outlet of being around other people. And I didn't realize, like, I knew that it meant a lot, but I didn't realize how much it meant for me to be able to keep my mental health stable. And then since then, I've kind of gotten used to being home and doing things like Zoom calls and phone calls, which I never talked to people on the phone before the pandemic, that's for sure, has kind of replaced that need for other people. I still miss hugging people. I'm going to hug everybody and make it all weird afterwards. But that's just me on a personal level. My children, they all have different needs, with two of the three being on opposite ends of the autism spectrum. And then the other one kind of floating around in the middle, about to be diagnosed potentially on the spectrum, finally. And each of them, it's affected them differently, obviously. My oldest is self-sufficient. She's an adult. She lives on her own. And she prefers being on her own and not having to people. So she's been kind of okay. It's more been the change of university that's happened for her, and how, you know, her last year of university went with a pandemic. My twins who live with me, because they're teenagers, it's had a very, very different effect for both of them. My son was in school for a lot longer because he has severe autism, whatever the severe thing means, but he's in an autism specific class. So he was very segregated, for lack of a better term, from the rest of school. But still, after Christmas last year, I didn't feel comfortable sending him back to school. So he's been stuck at home with Mama and with his twin because Mama still has to work. So we do touch base with his teacher through MS meetings or MS Teams, sorry, to be able to still have that connection. But he really misses his friends at school. His twin, however, she's been going through quite a bit of struggle because she desperately wants to be at school, desperately wants to see her friends, and is finding it very difficult actually to maneuver and manage all the deadlines that are required for school. So her mental health has really taken a nosedive through all of this.
And you just touched on my next question, Megan. What about routine? Mm-hmm. How has that impacted the dynamic within your household?
There is no routine anymore. There is basically the routine of, you know, when my youngest has school and needs to be attached to their computer to actually be attending school. But my son, on the flip side, we kind of touch base with his teacher as he needs, as I'm available during the school day because I'm still working. I actually started a second business through all of this that is keeping me very busy and out of the house. Whereas my original business is, I was able to pivot it all on completely online, which was part of the 5-year plan anyways. So between those two and juggling those two businesses, his schoolwork kind of has to work around that. But I have that flexibility to be able to do that, which is really something quite amazing.
And you talk about his schoolwork and you talked about your business and whatnot. What has been the biggest change in that? And speaking from his transition into a more of an online learning perspective, being outside of a classroom and such in that manner.
Well, it's a little different for him, especially because he is in an autism-specific class. And so it's not necessarily academics that are the focus for him. It's more about life skills and behavioral skills and basically being able to transition out of school, but not necessarily academics. For his twin, it's still mainstream schooling, and they have to keep up with their schoolwork, and they are really, really struggling with that at the moment. And they're having a hard time actually coming to me to say, hey, look, I'm struggling, because she thinks that will impede her independence in some way. And I keep trying to explain that asking for help and support is not something that takes away your independence. It's something that actually gives you further tools to become more independent. So at the end of the day, though, she's a teenager, so she's going to rebel from that a little bit.
Absolutely. And transitioning into advocacy, how are you as a mother on the special needs community, as well as your kids, advocating as we navigate through this pandemic?
Well, one thing that I'm hearing a lot is, well, not, it's just happening basically, but the parents are now going, oh my goodness, this is really, really difficult to teach my child, whether or not they have a diagnosis. They could be in mainstream, in spec ed, anything like that. And I mean, we know as parents that it's difficult to teach our children. And hats off to all the staff. Let's just take a moment to congratulate all the staff that are in schools and how they're dealing with everything over the last year. But something that I keep suggesting to parents now that we are teaching our children at home is to actually write down how you are teaching your child and whether or not those methods are working, because then that will help prepare you for things like IPRC meetings, which is the Independent Placement Review Committee meetings, which is what determines what resources are used for our children. And if we have that information of this isn't working, but this was working when they were working at home, it's something that might be translatable to the classroom whenever we go back to school or whenever the children go back to school. So being able to come with solutions for the school board is really, really helpful. Parents are also seem to be really enjoying having all these meetings through MS Teams, whether it's an IPRC meeting, or I'm going to throw a whole bunch of alphabet letters at you now, IPRC, IEPs, speech language, like all of the meetings that we as parents typically have are now all online. And we're honestly, the majority consensus seems to be that we're hoping that that actually continues after COVID. It makes it so much easier for potentially both parents to attend meetings and not just the primary caregiver, which just adds more information to be able to help support the individual child.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Megan. Well, we're going to take our first break. We'll be right back. Thank you.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
I don't drink and drive. No way I'm getting behind the wheel when I smoked weed, too.
How are we getting home, then?
Come on, Dave. Take one for the team.
Don't let weed and alcohol influence your decision to drive.
Yeah, I need a ride.
A message from Mad Canada.
Are you 16 to 21 years old with an unstable home in need of a safe place to stay? Notre Dame House might be for you. Located at 14 Cannon Street West, Notre Dame House is open 24 hours a day to the homeless and street-involved youth seeking assistance. You'll have access to trained staff, meals, beds, and they'll give you the tools you need to succeed. Notre Dame House believes in faith in people. Please contact them at 905-308-8090 or online at goodshepherdcenters.ca.
SASHA, the Sexual Assault Center, Hamilton and area, provides confidential telephone support to survivors of sexual assault, rape, incest, child sexual abuse, and sexual harassment. Survivors and their support people can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Men, women, and trans people are welcome to call the support line at 905-525-4162. Please call 905-525-4162. You are not alone.
You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome back to Above and Beyond, Bridging the Gap to Accessibility and Inclusion. We're having a great conversation with the founder of Momentability, Megan Graham. Now, Megan, before the break, we were talking about the transitioning in terms of like meetings, having them online to support the special needs community. And really, how has that been going for you and your family?
Personally, I love having the meetings online. It's fewer logistics for me because I just have to make sure that I'm home. So then I can actually build my entire work week around being home at Zoom. I have heard some great feedback from the community as well, that a lot more fathers especially are able to kind of take their lunch hour at whatever time that meeting is being held to be able to actually attend these meetings with school boards and with professionals. Because typically it's the mother that's the primary caregiver. There are exceptions to the rule, of course, but typically it's the mother that has been attending all meetings for the child, and the fathers feel left out. So for them to be able to actually just sit at their desk at the office, if they are in the office or at the home office, and still attend these meetings, it's better all around for everybody that's involved in caregiving to actually be able to attend the entire meetings with specialists at school board and at the medical level.
So now, in terms of Megan, the meetings themselves and having the more of the family dynamic involved with that, what would you see as a benefit going forward to that post pandemic?
Personally, and the feedback that I've received within the community is to continue these meetings online, or at least give the options of continuing them online. Some parents would still prefer to be in person for the meetings, but other parents want to have that option. And I think it's something that it's better resourced distribution from a business standpoint as well, because you don't have, for example, the learning resource teacher that actually supports three schools having to go to each of those three schools physically in person if you have all these meetings online. And people don't have to pay for parking. They don't have to pay for gas to be able to go to and from each of these meetings, whether it's actually at schools or in the medical field as well.
Yeah, and you just alluded to my next question too. Now, with regards to the benefits coming out of the pandemic that we see for not only the disability community, but the community at large, do we see like a different world happening?
I think we're all living like the Jetsons now. Come on, like And you, it seemed so outrageous when, you know, I was a kid and watching the Jetsons and people were doing, the, you know, the mom was doing the exercises in front of her TV or whatever the computer was at the in the show and everything. But that's what we're doing now. And it's something that we've really been forced into very, very quickly. And we've all had to change our mindsets about how things happen. And there's nothing wrong with changing our mindsets, because if we, in general, just continue doing things the way that we do them because it's how it's always been done, that's not how progress happens. Progress happens when you're up against the wall for something. Now, COVID has been a massive wall. Massive. Like, we will never experience anything like this again, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's really changed things to make it so that even employment is more accessible around across the board. Somebody who wasn't, for example, physically able to get into all buildings, even though that goes against the codes, but well, that's a whole other show. They can now access that potential employment to be self-sufficient moving forward. Being able to actually not have to incur additional costs to be able to access a specialist that might live out in British Columbia when we're here in Ontario. The only barrier then is internet and the time zone change. And that's it. Like, this opens up the world. It's been very difficult on people. It is, change is not easy, especially within the special needs community. But it's also made it a little bit easier for us to access those specialists. And wait lists are still there to be able to access the specialists. But if somebody can do five meetings through Zoom in a day, that specialist, for example, but can only manage four in-person appointments per day, that's going to get rid of wait lists a little bit faster anyways. So it's something that it's been really difficult for humans to be able to deal with and change along with it, but it has opened up a lot of possibilities to people that may have encountered some accessibility issues, not just physical accessibilities, but also it's opened up the world of possibility for people, for employers especially, to be able to think outside the box, which may make employment and self-sufficiency more accessible for everybody involved.
Now, how has advocacy pivoted for you, and being an advocate pre-pandemic, current pandemic, and then looking to the future post-pandemic? Have you seen any changes for yourself personally, your family, or how things operate?
I mean, I've always been an outspoken advocate anyways, but mm-hmm. I have found many of the parents that have brought me in to attend some of these meetings in schools especially, they seem to have felt more comfortable reaching out, because a lot of them tend to be introverted, it seems. And so they feel more comfortable reaching out by email, through social media, and then chatting over Zoom rather than being in person. Because when you're an introvert and you're meeting somebody who is an extremely tall extrovert, that can be a little intimidating. But it seems to have kind of leveled the playing field for going into schools to be able to advocate, for example. So they bring me in to be able to speak the same language still as the school board or the school staff would be speaking. But they feel more, it seems that they've felt more comfortable actually approaching me to be able to come in and help support them in those meetings.
That's great. Megan, we're going to take our final break, but we'll be right back with more Above and Beyond.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Here's an interesting statistic. Out of every 1,000 sexual assaults in Canada, 3 lead to a conviction. That means you're more likely to get into trouble for making an illegal left-hand turn, or parking in the wrong place, or walking your dog without a leash, or not shoveling your sidewalk, or jaywalking. We don't think that's okay. If you agree, join the conversation at #NotOkay. A message from YWCA Canada.
Mohawk College is launching its new Center for Entrepreneurship. The center will be hosting exciting events for students, alumni, and the community. The college's new center is committed to growing the entrepreneurial spirit and mindset, both in the classroom and out in the community. Mohawk has a long line of successful alumni entrepreneurs. If you're interested in what Mohawk's new Center for Entrepreneurship has to offer, check them out on YouTube. You can follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Mohawk Surge.
You're listening to C101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Welcome back to Above and Beyond. Megan, we're having a phenomenal conversation here today regarding access and inclusion and navigating the pandemic. And before the break, and even during the break, we were having this conversation about outside the box thinking, you know, how this pandemic has opened eyes to whether it's a new way of learning, whether it's employment, and people with disabilities will hopefully somewhat benefit following the pandemic. Could you speak to that a little bit?
I really hope so. I mean, if the example that I give often isn't for related to employment, for example, but it's transferable across the board for personal levels or personal situations as well, where it's no longer a stigma to be working at home, where people think that you're not working when you're working at home. People understand now that you are actually working when you're working at home. And there's been a lot of discussion around how we can keep that going post lockdown, for example, which will make things more accessible from an employment standpoint for people with disabilities of any type of disability. Because if someone can't physically get into a building, for example, or if somebody can't work under the fluorescent lighting because of sensory issues, they then have that option to actually work at home. I mean, I started working at home because I couldn't work a traditional 9-to-5 job anymore because of my son's diagnosis. He needed me to be able to take him to therapy 5 days a week, and therapy was 9:30 to 2:30. So there was very little employment that I could actually be there and be accessible for my employer to actually be able to fulfill my roles. So I had to create my own job. And people don't see that as being real necessarily. But now, because of this pandemic, people are understanding that people that are self-employed, that don't necessarily have a storefront to go to or an office to go to, that we are actually working and we are real. And hopefully that will transfer over to adults with disabilities as well that still have tons to contribute on so many levels, are so qualified and usually overqualified in a good way for a position, but it's because they have to battle those stereotypes that if somebody's in a wheelchair, for example, isn't capable of doing a job. That's not true at all. And it just makes employment so much more accessible. It makes being able to see your friends and family so much more accessible when you have ways such as Zoom and MS Teams and FaceTime and all these things that are now just commonplace within the general society. And I hope that that really stays after this pandemic is over.
Absolutely. It remains an option. Now, mm-hmm. under the umbrella of universal design for learning, we speak to that not only from the academic and the classroom area. I mean, we're always learning. We're always talking outside the box, as we just alluded to, to transition into a new way of thinking, a new way of operating, a new way of just approaching life and approaching the disability community, whether the disability is visible or invisible, to help be more active and viable members of the community. Can you speak to that?
It just, like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't people want the right person for the job coming to work for the job? And it doesn't matter if that person needs a walker to walk into the job, or, you know, needs a different form of chair to be able to sit in, or needs a different app installed on their computer to be able to make it more visually accessible for them, because it needs to be a black background instead of a white background. If that's the right person for the job, let them do the job and pay them equivalent.
Absolutely. And being open-minded to not necessarily changes, but open-minded to that new way of learning, that new way of thinking, if that's the right person for the job, as you just alluded to.
And that person is the person that knows how to make those tiny changes to be able to make that position more accessible for them.
Absolutely. And you just said it, like, in terms of the disability community, actually listening to the person with the disability, focusing on that lived experience and having that lived experience from that person be a message so that everybody can learn from that.
And kudos to you, Anthony, because I have asked you some very interesting questions over the years, just because I want to learn more about the physical disability aspect of things, because my specialty, for lack of a better term, is neurological and invisible disabilities. But you're my go-to guy for anything related to any kind of physical accessibility.
And Megan, you've always been a phenomenal person, a phenomenal friend, and I'm proud that you're in my circle. And I just can't appreciate you enough for all you do for our community as well. You've been such a huge advocate and a great voice for our community. We're going to close the show with Megan's quote. So Megan says, "You never know how strong you are until being strong is your only choice."
Yep.
I'm Anthony Frazier.
He's a smart man, let me tell you.
He is a very smart man. Well, I'm Anthony Frazier. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
United, always trying to face the day. We're together.
CIOI
101.5 FM.
The Hawk is on the air.